Good morning. Would you join me in the prayer of illumination as printed in the bulletin? You never sent us away hungry, gracious God. You offer what fills heart, mind, and soul. As we receive today from your generosity of wisdom and word, may we be transformed by your love. Amen. The gospel reading today is from Luke 9, 10 to 17. Jesus feeds a crowd of more than 5,000. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all they had done. He took them with him and withdrew privately to a city called Bethsaida. When the crowds found out about it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed to be cured. The day was drawing to a close, and the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside to lodge and get provisions, for we are here in a deserted place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people," for there were about 5,000 men. And he said to the disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50 each." They did so and made them all sit down, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd, and all ate and were filled. What was left over was gathered up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Herein is good news.
A reading from the first letter of John. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need, and yet refuses help? Herein is wisdom. Thanks be to God. I have the fondest of memories eating with friends at their place. I notice how I relax into their presence, knowing that all I have to do is enjoy the food, the conversation, and the relationship. Food is glorious and seems to taste even better when someone else cooks it. It gives rise to so many occasions, does food. So many occasions that tend to the well-being of our body, our mind, and our spirit. It's no wonder then that food plays such an important role, such a central role in the Bible. Food is mentioned all over the place. In Isaiah, from the feast of God's holy mountain, to references of dates and pomegranates, to eating with tax collectors and sinners, to simple suppers of bread and fish, which, as it turns out, feeds the masses. The Bible is full of stories that connect food with healing and compassion, love and intimacy, neighbors and friends. In today's readings from Luke and the first letter of John, there are two imperatives that surface for me. In Luke's story about bread and fish, the imperative is to provide. To provide. In the letter of 1 John, the imperative is to love. Both imperatives are rooted in the heart of God. There is a common wisdom that says food tastes extra special when it is prepared in love. The words from each of the readings today are embraced by love that is expressed through the compassionate acts of providing and offering kindness. So as I sat with the readings from today, I realized again that the best expression of the Christian faith is when we share our resources, when we make sacrificial gestures of generosity in order to ensure the well-being of one another and the community all around us. And clearly that's why we have an offering as part of worship, and why asking for generosity serves as a reminder to us that something is required out of our material abundance in order to create a culture of provision in the service of those in our congregation and for the wider community around us. In Luke's gospel, Jesus says, and I think this must frighten the disciples, Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." And while initially uncomfortable for the disciples, Jesus' words actually compel them to act in love and to trust in God's capacity to provide. "You give them something to eat" calls upon the disciples to act and drives home the point that they and we are the hands and feet of God's abundance. We might think there's not enough, but the fears of scarcity fail in the light of God's abundance. The gospel gives witness to the fact that God provides way more than is needed and makes a point of making sure we hear that at the end of the day, there were 12 baskets of broken pieces of food left over. And I think that's what the Christian community is called to emulate. A culture of abundance, a culture of generosity, a culture where the provision is always more than the need. That's what the gospel says about how God works. The wisdom of the Bible fosters this culture of provision grounded and rooted in love and compassion. A meal tastes extra special because love is cooked right into it. Generosity feels amazing because the gift is made in love, not duty or obligation. And I think that is the essence of the letter from 1 John. The love described in this passage is a free-flowing love. It is not conditional upon certain prerequisites being met. And again, the provision is greater than the need. This kind of love is in the lead. And by that I mean this love is out ahead of the need, already anticipating what the need is going to be. Jesus is inviting the disciples to get out ahead of the need. 1 John is inviting the members of its community to do exactly the same. The context of Christian community is framed then by the wisdom of our faith and the witness of our tradition. And so much of that takes place around the sharing of food, the gathering together as a community in the service of one another and the world around it, And that's why I love guessing about who's coming for dinner. Especially in the context of the simple suppers that we serve here, because it's one way that we can provide more than is needed, create room for relationships, offer rest and enjoyment, and do all of that as one's faithfully living in the way of Christ. We give them something to eat, and they exclaim how wonderful the food tastes because it's served in love and someone else has provided it. Surprising, or perhaps not surprising at all, is how food shows up as a central and loving theme across and through all of the world's faiths. While researching the Sikh religion, Susan and I were both moved by its practice of providing a space for eating and sleeping in their place of worship for anyone who needs it. There's always provision for food and rest. And then, of course, as you heard, after worship, there's a meal that is served in the temple's dining room. When it comes to guests who's coming to dinner, the Sikhs simply provide no matter who arrives for the meal. Like our tradition, food is understood as a means to accomplishing unity and peace between neighbors. Viewing how others relate spiritually to their community and the world around them actually helps me see my tradition more clearly. And most often, it leads me to notice the many things that we hold in common. More and more, I notice that at the heart of each world faith is a deep intention to foster peace and love. And while the language or the culture may frame that in ways that are unfamiliar to us, all we have to do is use our eyes and listen deeply in order to realize that we are all working together to help one another and the world around us in order that we might embody the divine essence of compassion. And absolutely, there will be points that we can't totally agree upon. But I have come to appreciate that the greater good is served when we seek the path of mutual awareness and understanding. And what better way to do that than by sharing a meal together? In those shared meals, I learn even more about what it means to be a Christian, and how other world faiths can help me become even more intentional about my faith. So I invite all of us to be mindful. Simply bring to our mind how our faith fosters a culture of provision and love in action. May we enjoy our meals with one another, stranger and friend, family and neighbors. May we cook with love and eat with joy and gratitude as we celebrate and as we share God's abundance. And wouldn't you know, we have before us an opportunity to practice exactly that following today's service. So I invite you to enjoy the company of each other. And I expect to hear energy and conversation that is grounded and rooted in joy and compassion and love, because in this simple act, we are providing even more than is needed. This is the way of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen.